We've been talking about Are you on? We've been talking about the counting of the Omer and all that good stuff. If you remember, in the Zohar it says on the 14th day they removed the leaven, and Israel emerged from the sphere of the alien power and now clings to the unleavened, which is the holy bond. And on the 15th day they became linked at the hour of betrothal, or wedlock, which is protection for all. Therefore the adornment of the bride is on that day, and at night is the visiting of the house of our New Jerusalem. Woe to those who are not of the true household when the two Torahs come to unite. Woe to those who are not there when the heavenly Matrona and the earthly Matrona meet. Now, that's sort of this is what it really means, that Passover is the betrothal. Everybody understand? We've talked about this for days now, but everybody have a good feel for what this, you don't even have to understand it, but there's something in you that it touches. Okay. Therefore, on the 14th day, they prepare themselves and remove all leaven from among them, and they enroll themselves exclusively under the heavenly or the holy power. Then the bridegroom and the bride are crowned with the crowns of the supernal mother. And finally, the bride is at the beginning of freedom. Now, leaven in the Zohar has a far, far deeper meaning than we've looked at before. We've talked about in general that for the world, leaven is the engine of life. It's the engine of invention because you see need. It's the engine of ambition because you see lack. But it's also the engine of self-reliance, or the illusion of self-reliance, because you don't see the power of God. So, lack, self-reliance, and all of that produces hypocrisy, because internally you realize that you're just a little pissant. And so you, in order to enroll yourself in this heavenly kingdom, you have to unroll yourself or depart from the earthly. You cannot be in both places. So the whole idea, this is why if you're going to be part of the heavenly kingdom, you deny all of the things, all of the food of the kingdom of darkness. And most of that comes from mind talk.
Like the three young men refusing to eat.
Right. And so the idea that we are now, when Christ said that no man can come to him unless they eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, we eat of his flesh symbolically in the unleavened bread of the matzah. But that only symbolizes this state of being without leaven. It doesn't in itself, it's not transubstantiation or whatever else people think it is. It's the tactile act of affirming that your entire sustenance and your entire method and basis of satisfaction is no longer accomplishment are no longer invention, are no longer thought, are no longer self-realization, because you've seen all of those issues are of the kingdom of darkness. Now your only sustenance and your only satisfaction is in the blood or the body of Christ. And so you've totally expelled forever the leaven of the kingdom of this world. And that's why I've talked so often about that to you, that mind talk it's the basis of all three leavens. It's the leaven of Herod, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of the Pharisees, because it in itself is it gives life to the Antichrist, to the you. It even if it's negative mind talk, it doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative, it's stupid, because you're breathing life into the Antichrist. You are the one that's raising him from the dead, from the deadly head wound. And until you understand that, you'll never get rid of mind talk. And you think now what I love is when people say they're a victim of their mind talk. It's unbelievable to me that anybody could be that stupid. Oh, I can't. My mind just does all this. No, it doesn't. Your mind does it because you either see lack, or you don't see the power of God, or you're moving toward. You want some kind of self-realization. You want to get out of the chastisement. Am I communicating? So you cannot. There is no possibility of counting unto yourself the days of the Omer if you have eaten one small morsel of leaven. Now, I don't want you to hear this as some kind of intellectual exercise or even some kind of spiritual exercise. I want you to eat it, to know it, so that mind talk becomes such an anathema that it's as if you were giving the Antichrist a blowjob. Because you are, because you're breathing life into him. I probably shouldn't have said that, huh? No, don't take it out. Talk to me. I want to find out if you understand it or don't understand it, or if you disagree. Otherwise, these are just religious exercises that are meaningless. You have a form of godliness, but deny his power.
When you say mind talk, what I think of is this private world that I have, that I control.
Well, that's part of mind talk. Mind talk is anything. For you, that's probably the most, you know, that in itself is adultery. Jerry, where are you? You're not here this morning. You agree you're not here.
I'm kind of goofy, yeah. I don't know why, but it's kind of dull.
Well, stop it.
What struck in me was the fact that it starts the mind talk or judgments. We were reading last night, don't judge after your sight and your hearing. Use your righteous judgment, and that's what all the whole discussion is about.
What is righteous judgment?
Not judging after your sight and your vision.
And what does that mean?
Abandoning everything you think.
Well, how does that, what is righteous judgment?
I can't really tell you.
Well, that's the problem. You con yourself into thinking that something you're thinking is righteous. Righteous judgment, there's only one righteous judgment, and that it is finished. Christ said, it is good for you that I go to the Father, because if I go to Him, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will come. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, not because of what they do, that's past. That happened. That was taken care of at the cross. Of sin because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father. There is no other righteousness except it's finished. He's gone to the Father. And of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. There's no other judgment. So it's just it's just insane idiocy. There's not enough adjectives to describe that your mind talk. It's just so mind-blowingly stupid in the face of the revelation that you've been given, and yet I know you continue in it. You continue it in here during Bible study. Your mind goes, well, how does this affect me? So even the mystery of the kingdom of God becomes so perverted when it's filtered through the mind that it becomes an instrument of maximizing self-interest. That's why you've got to start prophesying. You've got to start saying what's there so that there can be, you can exhort one another daily while it is still called today, so you're not deceived by the leaven any longer. You're not deceived by this idiotic mind and making these private looks and private judgments.
I'm thinking about focusing while you're in here, and it's like when your mind is doing this stuff, which it does, it's like it's just, you got to keep moving the stuff aside or behind you, or whatever it is, to keep on. So things do come in, and oh yeah, that's an interesting thought. It's worth that.
Yeah, but it's like, it's the same. The only way when you're a little kid and you're really stupid, and there's a hot stove, and you go and put your hand in the stove, then you don't do that anymore because you find out that the fire or the heat burns you. Somehow, I have not been successful in relating to you that that your mind talk is 10,000 times more dangerous to you than putting your hand in an atomic bomb, even. And so you sit here, even in Bible study, and you let your mind go. You know, that's why I get, I'm sure none of you have ever seen this, but if I detect that your mind is elsewhere, I'll stop. Or even if your mind is thinking about what we just heard. Because you're polluting it by trying to apprehend it instead of being apprehended by it. The moment you try, then the reward is no longer reckoned of grace but of debt.
I just thought as we really believe, trust, and have confidence in our minds, even though we say these things, you're right, somehow it doesn't penetrate the depth of that reality, and we still will use our minds to try and understand this great stuff that's just been presented. It's like mind has no other path.
Thinking like you just said, we're trying to apprehend this or understand it or whatever, and you say let it apprehend you. It's like thinking that we're supposed to make an effort to try and understand it so that we don't do the things that we did, like the mind talk or whatever, the judgments or whatever. But I guess what I'm not understanding is kept apprehending you. You know, I don't know how that looks. I don't know how that's supposed to work.
Okay.
Cut this man off. Yeah.
The minute that something is preached, and you say in some subtle way that you're guilty of whatever the assumed or the implied charge is, then you're immediately, what the Antichrist does is try to apprehend it in order to do a Benny Hinn. You try to encompass everything. It's like a huge, you encompass all charges to try to make you innocent. Instead of the act of, if you sense or see in any way that your being as a totality isn't what's being preached, what the scriptures declare is that that's when you repent. Not, oh, I'm sorry I'm doing that, but it's just it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper how you leave yourself behind. How deep shall the cross go? Deeper still. And so, but instead of that, what minds do, if you pay any attention at all to them, is they try to incorporate that into their worldview, into their view of self and how they respond and react to stimulus in the world. And that can't happen. In doing that, you're not dying daily. You're not accounted as a sheep to the slaughter. You are avoiding death by trying to accomplish the thing. And so what you do is the same thing everybody else does. You know, they take portions of the law and ignore the other portions, and they take the little bitty teeny weeny bit that they might think they can do and latch onto that and ignore the idea that they have to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple in order for it to happen at all. Or if I talk to you about prophesying or talk to you about no mind talk, you try to sit there and figure out how to do it. Instead of, my God, I've done that. Father, forgive me. I let the cross go deeper. But the moment you try to figure it out or try to do it, that just breathes more life into the evil one. So instead of, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, the bread of no leaven, and lead us not into temptation, lead us not in any way to go inward, but to the contrary, deliver us from the evil one. I mean, it's there is nothing about God stuff that you can apprehend. All God stuff can do is cause repentance and leaving yourself behind to go deeper. That's why it's the great equalizer. It doesn't matter whether you're intelligent, it doesn't matter whether you're stupid, it doesn't matter whether you're brain dead, it doesn't matter whether you're in a good mood or a bad mood, because it has nothing to do with you apprehending it. It has to do with it apprehending you. And the only thing that's dependent on is your willingness to repent. I mean, it's like these are the very, very, very first principles of the doctrine into which we've been delivered. And yet we have to keep repeating them. Because we come up with something that you think is new or heard for the first time, and instead of letting it apprehend you, you try to apprehend it. So we start all over again. Anybody have any response? It's as simple as there is. It's the most simple thing there is.
So, you know.
That's good news.
I'm struck by the fact that if you're trying to apprehend it and you're trying to, you know, it's always something in the future, like, okay, I'll stop judging, or I'll stop the mind talk, instead of being in the now. The now is there's an opportunity to repent. And it's always putting it off, thinking there's going to be some way of getting righteousness, being right. You know, I'll do it better next time, whether it's even the next moment.
Spiritual Darwinianism. The evolution of the spirit, which is, it's idiotic.
It seems like what drives that is the fact that we think we can change. So much of the world preaches if you change your actions, then you're a different person.
Well, how can you possibly think that you can change after hearing me talk for 5 minutes? What is the Antichrist going to get better?
He's going to repent. If there's something you say and I don't like it, then one of the mechanisms of dealing with it is I'll just get mad at him. And I don't have to deal with the thing he said. I'd be mad at him. And that's justifiable somehow.
Oh, I know. I never knew that happened with anybody.
And it's most effective to be privately mad. Don't express it once or twice.
And then leave and go away and write a book about it.
That's not to see if everyone in your whole little world would be mad about it.
And then find a friend.
Yeah. And find a bunch of other people that are equally mad.
Yeah. But that's that. Then you don't have to deal with the truth. You've got a foil.
Yeah, that's why, remember how many years I've talked about you've made me the joker in your temple that you hit and beat up every time something happens that you don't like?
Yeah.
Can you see? This isn't subtle. If you have eyes to see, it isn't difficult if you've heard the mystery. It's the most simple, beautiful, all-encompassing thing that can exist. And there are no exceptions. The only thing that keeps it from being apprehended and penetrated is this incessant attempt to save your own life.
You said the word beautiful a second ago, and I've found lately when I've been teaching or talking, it's that word comes to me a lot, how beautiful this is. It's true beauty because of what it, I mean, it's really seeing what beauty is.
Amen.
Word is really appropriate than what we're talking
about. I wanted us to get to a point because it was an end thing that I thought about earlier. And I said, this is just like everybody understands this. It's just preamble stuff.
But no.
You thought this was first grade.
Yeah. No, kindergarten.
Stay here till we get it right.
Kindergarten. You don't understand. I was just making fun of myself. So you must be in agreement to come totally and completely out of and stop consuming the leaven of this world. And again, that's fundamentally manifested in your thought processes.
I was just reminded they didn't leave it where it was at and try to leave it alone. You know, like, oh, I'm not going to do that. You know, they dug it up. I've never heard of it, but, you know, they probably...
They burned it.
They burned it.
Yeah. And I think that's... In me, it always comes up, if you don't deal with the root, you know, there's scriptures that say, you know, take it to the root. And for me, whether that's masturbation or stealing or whatever, if I don't see what the hell I'm really trying to achieve by that and the stupidity of it, I'm just always trying not to do it.
Well, I mean, it's not that we're exhorted to take it to the root. The axe has already been laid to the root. It's It's all the that was the first thing that was said about Christ when John the Baptist saw him. Now is the axe laid to the root of the tree. There is no more root. It's gone. It's only you that give it the appearance of having a root. There's no more secret psychobabble that you have to deal with. There's no more secret, well, what does this mean? What is this motivation for this? Nobody gives a damn. Oh, but it's important to know what I think. No, it isn't. No, I don't. If you haven't heard me say it lately, I don't care what you think. I don't care about your little problems and your psychobabble. I care that you recognize that the axe has been laid to the root of the tree. I care that you recognize that you're living in a lie. And I care that you acknowledge Jesus Christ is all and in all. And right now I care that you spew out the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod. Spew it out, never to chew on it again, so that you may eat of that which is unleavened, the bread of the New Jerusalem. That's what faith is.
By spew it out, you mean let it be known?
Well, that's the first baby step. It's, you know, if you don't, then you're like the dog returning to his own vomit. You just keep eating the vomit over and over. Oh, I can get worse than that.
Yes, we do. Sorry, I kind of pierced your ears. Not on this, make sure to eat.
I didn't hear you, Ronnie. What'd you say?
Underestimate your ability to escalate.
No. I haven't heard that since Doug left. Can you just sense for a brief moment the freedom that is yours in Him? You don't have to play these stupid games with your mind anymore. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. It's not you're going to be. If you don't see you are, then you never will be. You need nothing but what the Father is good pleasure to freely give you. Now you are complete in Him. Everything is finished. And when the scales are removed from your eyes, everywhere you look, you will see Christ. But again, gotta see, can a leopard change its spot? Can a skunk stop stinking? You know, some of you remind me of skunks that every once in a while go buy some eau de cologne and spray themselves and think they're getting better. Yeah, that's what they use. It's appropriate. That's another French thing. Yeah. Toilet water is supposed to be their perfume.
Relatively speaking, it is.
But please, your warfare is done. It's over. Unless you want to go out there and do some crap some more. Then go, but do it if you want to. Be honest about it. Don't sit around here and waste my time and waste your time. Go do it till you find out there's no there there. I'm not trying to talk you into anything. If you can't hear it, you're not ready to hear it.
I'm just thinking about what if you're crazy? You know, what if your mind is just nuts?
And so what is it? It's very clear. Paul said, if I'm crazy, I'm God's crazy.
Which, once again, removes all...
It takes you out of the picture.
Yeah.
That's just a, don't do that. Don't do that. That's a subtle way of putting your eyes on yourself. Making a joke out of it. Now watch, Ken will walk away and be mad at me all day.
How you care, I might do it.
Yes, that's two. One more.
No, I was thinking how we use excuses for.
Well, that's what Kent just did. He just deflected it so that he didn't have to face it. It's the Benny Hinn way of thinking of life. What? You're thinking of something. What are you talking about? You're talking.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm sitting here waiting for nuclear war to break. Actually, I'm sitting here. I feel like I'm sitting on a nuclear weapon.
And what is the weapon? Why are you sitting on it?
I think at any second you're going to explode.
I'm a crippled old man.
I know all about that shit. I can just hear it going. Dick, 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 dick.
Anybody else have anything? No, Ken, I just want you to be free and stop this incessant self-analysis. It's just getting old and it must be getting terribly boring to you. You're taking yourself way too seriously. Abandon yourself. Pick up your cross and you will follow Him and all your worries and problems will be over. That anything that you think of as negative is the chastisement of a loving Father instead of thinking that the world is against you. Amen?
I saw the way that we're this body is the chief of sinners because we uncover mysteries that the ancients would delight in seeing, and yet, you know, what's the deal? It's like it doesn't penetrate. We're so gross and, I don't know.
It's weird. Dull.
We're dull, yeah. How can we hear this stuff and it not blow us away?
Well, the reason is because you don't believe it. You don't believe that you're the chief of sinners. You believe that you can improve in some way. You can become a better provider. You can become a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better kid, or a better Bible study person. And it's the subtlety. That's part of the leaven. You know, the only difference between me and in that area is I know I can't improve. I know the depth of my own evil. I know that it is not possible for me to be, and I don't. And so I've reached a point where I just say what's there, because if God requires anything more than that, then I'm lost anyway, and it doesn't. You know, and there is absolutely nothing out there that I can even conceive of doing. And so the point of it is this. It's because it's that's why it's so difficult. Because our whole, first of all, we speak English, which is the worst language in the universe to understand spirit. Second of all, we now live in a society which is the most, it's a society, in my opinion, it's the society of all of the societies that ever existed in the world, which everything around you teaches you to maximize self-interest and self-realization. And so to me, you know, I'm still a bastard, and I'll still push you to the wall, but I still think it's a miracle if one other person heard in this environment. That's why I know the end is near, because the subtlety of the contrast between self-realization being the permeating philosophy of our worldview that just surrounds us, this idiocy of the English language, which is all we have, I know then that the end is near, because that makes the test so subtle. It makes it so, you know, from our mind standpoint, it's so subtle that I know that's the final cosmetic of the bride. So I can rejoice even when I'm pissed off. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Then we have Joy Santa back to give me problems all the time.
It was better when I was gone, right?
No. Well, things were really easy then.
We were having a party when you were both gone.
Yeah, I was like, we're both gone most of that time.
No, I know most of you think I'm this totally loving, caring, sensitive kind of person.
Maddie thinks you're that way.
Maddie sees the real me.
Well, he is that way to Maddie.
Yeah, you want to retreat.
But believe it or not, I do love and care for each one of you. I mean, more than you'll ever know. But knowing the terror of God, I must do what I do.
That's what love is.
Amen?
Did you sign up for
it? No.
I just told her I wasn't going to do it. Anybody else have any last words? What's going on with you? Sitting there with a Cheshire grin on your face.
He's not with
me. He's got some evil thing going on.
Who?
It's
thinking if
the prize flyer.
If I wasn't here because of love, then I would just be. This would be my flogging.
Yeah, you'd be the Shehite.
Yeah. I'd come here to flog.
Ask Blue Woman.
What does that mean?
I wrote the thing about Otis, the dyslexic prophet that comes out of the dumpster.
He wasn't talking about me.
Administers punishment. Listen to him twice a day.
No, he wasn't talking about me.
I was just thinking that when I hear something being said that I don't understand, I start thinking about it and trying to apprehend it. I guess just, I don't know, let it slide.
No, you can't let it slide. You have to do one of two things. You have to search the scriptures to see whether these things be so, or you have to say, Father, let me give you a hint. I spent all those years, you know, doing the translating and word studies in the Bible, and there's, you know, let's be honest, there's a jillion apparent contradictions and things that are, don't come down to. I promise you, every single time that I saw one of those things that didn't make sense to me in some way, that was like God saying, aha! There's about to be a eureka for you if you just wait. And don't try anymore. And so, even though I studied and did, you know, word studies in Greek and Hebrew, and it literally wasn't for the purpose of learning anything. It was because what I had seen when I became a believer was so contrary to everything that was in my mind and my own experience, that I had to find out whether there's, because it cost me everything. It cost me my right to myself, it cost me my money, it cost me my reputation, it cost me my everything. And I didn't like that. So I kiddingly say I was trying to find loopholes. Well, it's true. I was trying to find a way to save myself. I wasn't trying to learn anything. And so whenever I came to a point that I something I didn't understand or I didn't see, the Spirit of God would come on and like humongous, and I knew that if I tried, then the thing that I didn't see would just be keep going ahead of me, wherever I went. But if I said, "Father, I wait on you," well, then it would be revealed. And it happened a million times in that 12-year period. I knew, as part of that experience that I had seen before becoming a believer, was I knew that there wasn't anything good in me. I couldn't. There wasn't anything I could do to find or not find or hear or not hear. Or, I mean, how can evil find good? How can sweet water, I mean, how can a well produce both sweet and bitter water? I knew that from my perspective, it could only produce bitterness. So I'm not going to use the bitter well to try to get sweet water.
So you don't try to pursue it with your mind.
No, you say, "Father, I don't see this. I wait on you."
I'm trying to pursue it at all.
Yeah, it's like using that which is cursed to uncover that which is not.
You can't do it. You know, and again, you know, people, I probably can, I mean, this is stupid to say this, but, you know, I see these guys like, you know, Jack Van Impe, and he's, according to, you know, John 3:23 and Jack 3, blah, 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 everything he says, he has to have a scripture for it. Well, that just proves to me he doesn't believe. And I don't know anybody that, I've never once tried to memorize a scripture. And yet it seems that every time something comes up that's needed, it's there. The right scripture, and maybe I'm kidding myself, but I don't think so. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It's a mechanistic construct to try and meet any need. It's like they used to, 40 years ago.
What's a mechanistic construct?
You try to learn.
I'm just kidding. I got him. I got him. I pulled. I just pulled a bloom on him. Okay, go back to your mechanistic construct.
Well, it's like trying to carry enough luggage to travel around the world so you'll have exactly what you need for any possibility, as opposed to traveling without any luggage and knowing that what you need will be provided where and when you need it.
Because you had an unlimited expense account.
Just that.
Well, that's what I did when I traveled. I never carried luggage. But again, you don't need to try to do anything. If you try, you're working it. And again, if you're working it in any way, the reward is not reckoned to be of grace, but of debt. And then the debt will get heavier and heavier and heavier. Pretty soon, you can just get up and leave. He will give you everything you need in the time that you need it.
I think it has to be all or nothing. I mean, if you
oh yeah,
if you find yourself, you know, doing this, then you know, and then oh, I got to stop this, you know, and you go back and forth with this thing. You can't really rest.
No.
You know, either you can rest in God, or you know, you take it, go, you know, grab it until the end, and not. You know, this little back and forth thing, trying to circumcise yourself and not think about it or try to find the rest or whatever when it's not there.
No, if you're trying, like it's like trying to be at peace. It's just a contradiction in terms.
Mm-hmm.
You're either at peace, the peace that passes all understanding, or you're not. You can't get there from here. Anybody else?
We've got this garage sale, so if we could have a short Bible study and end on time this morning.
What didn't somebody tell me? It's Kent's fault.
Because we'd rather get yelled at by you than carry shit.
No. You'd rather get yelled at by Joysanna by me than Joysanna.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Or Pete.
Yeah.
Or Pete, yeah. No, I'd mean this. I mean, whether anybody recognizes, I'm not good at showing, but I do love you, and I even love all the people that have left. They may not like me at all, but that doesn't matter. And it's not, but to me, I've got to show you that, you know, again, the only thing that comes to mind, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. And that's my role. That's my job. Gary spent 23 years convinced that I like to make people mad at me. Maybe still more, maybe longer than that. All righty, but this isn't about me. Forget me. This is about Christ and his perfection and his fulfillment and his everything. And it's not about you. It's not about me. All righty. Take it, big guy. And we're going to quit early so you can get to your garage sale.